Hey, welcome to the Circuit Rider Podcast. I'm Nick Brandt, and I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders, and it is amazing to see how God is growing this missional community, both here and around the world. We have gotten so many testimonies of how this podcast has revived people's faith, empowered them into their purpose, and led them into a place of personal freedom. And right now, as the Circuit Riders, we're in a season of expansion, and we need the help and support of our whole community, including you, to meet those needs. So if Circuit Riders has been a source of encouragement, life, or a blessing to you, we are asking that you would become a monthly giver. Something powerful takes place when we move from just a place of receiving to taking personal responsibility in becoming a participant by giving. If you're ready to give, you can donate now at www.circuitriders.com/donate. Again, thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Are we ready to rumble tonight? Look at your neighbor and say, are you ready to rumble? Look at your neighbor and say, are you ready for the word? What do you think? Do you think they're ready? Are they ready? Are they ready? I'll just keep repeating myself. Are they ready? All right, perfect. Can we give a huge round of applause and welcome up Lindy Kofer and I as she brings the word?
Guys, I am not okay from that Black Voices video. I'm like, I hope I'm not next. I hope there's another announcement because I feel like I'm trembling right now. That video really just messed me up. I'm not kidding. I was like, then he was like announcing the speaker. I'm like, no. I just need a minute. I'm dead serious. I need a minute. I feel God so strong on that Black Voices video. Can we play it one more time? Is that okay? Just for me. Just one more time.
What's more powerful than a voice? A voice can change a person. A choir of voices can change a nation. First, it changes the heart. Then, it changes the mind. It can even save the soul. This is not a new concept, but an ancient one. The question is not, do we have a voice? The question is, what will we use it for?
It's always fun when you have a personal moment when you're like about to share with people. I just want to say that I love Black Voices and I love the Black Voices movement. And it's changed my life. I'm serious. I wish I would have seen that video beforehand so I could have had this moment, not before I'm about to share. Shout out, who's in CRX? We had a really great week last week, but one thing I shared was about Black Voices and how it changed my life and how watching friends who I had been close to, like Alvin and Eniola, step into something I'd never seen them step into, and as a Christian, it changed me. And so I just believe this year on the Black Voices tour, we're going to see something we've never seen before, and we're going to see and hear an even greater sound than we've ever heard before. Because I'll never forget, we just obeyed God, which is what we're talking about tonight, right? Yasmin, Brian, they obeyed God, what they were hearing. And it created this space, and this space for even the songwriters to ask God for songs that they never had permission to ask for. They did have the permission, but out of relationship, there was space made. They've always had the permission of the Holy Spirit, and I will never forget when Eniola and Alvin sent me, this is what it looks like. And I went, oh my goodness, what is this? Because I went, this is the worship from your heart to the throne of God. And it's carrying a sound that is going to lead so many people to Jesus. So I just want to say, I'm expectant for all of our tours, Carry the Love, Brave Love. But I believe there is going to be maybe some of the most profound miracles we've seen on tour this year. And it's because there's a sound barrier being broken for women, for Black Voices, for Gen Z. And so I just want you to lean in, especially as you're going on Carry the Love. Pray for your tour stops. Pray for where you're going. Okay, we're going to hop in now, but I just felt like I'm so stirred for tour this year. Yeah, yeah. God's going to show up. It's not hype. Yeah. It's Jesus on the move. Okay, so my amazing husband was supposed to preach tonight, and he got sick, so here I am bringing you my heart, and I hope you're ready. We're going to dive into scripture, and we're going to do some practical application tonight. Can you say application? Okay, so, you know, worship, we have our own idea of worship. When I say that word, something's going through your mind right now. You know, probably some of you are thinking of a stage with lights and a fog machine. Other of you are picturing yourself in a living room, whatever. When I say worship, something comes to your mind. So tonight, I just want to dive into the simplicity of worship, what the Bible says about worship, and how we can all be activated into worship. You know, in the Brave Love video where it said, "Dear sister, it's you." I mean, did your heart not burn? You're like, "It's me. Oh my gosh, I'm made for this." It's carrying an anointing, right? But I had this thought run through my mind, you know, because we're a kingdom of priests before our God. But in some of our current cultures we've set up in worship, we don't see ourselves as a kingdom of priests. We see the people on stage or the musicians or that person that can just go get their acoustic guitar and worship in the streets. And we see that those are the priests, right? Well, when we don't have a right view of God and our role as a kingdom of priests, we actually miss out on a calling we have in Christ Jesus. So I want to start tonight by saying, whether you sing or you're a worship leader, you are a priest. Like when it said, "Dear sister, it's you," I was thinking, oh my gosh, if I could make a video about like the kingdom of priests and then go, "Dear friend, it's you." You are the kingdom of priests before our God. So I'm going to read through my notes, and we're going to keep this really simple Bible and just dive in. Sound good? Okay, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence that's already in this room. And Lord, we're asking tonight, would you open our hearts to hear your voice? Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you would anoint every person in this room to carry out a message of biblical worship for their generation. Father, we pray for clarity tonight in Jesus' name. We say anything that would want to get in the way of the word going deep in our hearts, we take authority right now in Jesus' name. And we say, let the word of God run deep in us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. A lot of this you know, but it's good to say it again. True worship of God is internal. It's a matter of the heart, a spirit rooted in the knowledge of and obedience to the revealed word of God. Okay, tonight we're going after the heart of worship and making worship a practical part of our daily lives. Tonight we're moving beyond preference, style, and our own understanding. Tonight we are immersing ourselves in the wonder of the access that we have through the blood of Jesus that enables us to live a life of worship. Sound good? Okay, so I want to start by saying that worship has endless expressions. If we all looked and sounded the same, we would be far, very far from authentic worship and possibly stuck in religious forms. Okay? I do just want to say that this is important. If you think worship looks a certain style, that's your preference. That's your preference, and that's okay. We all have preferences. It's fine. But that does not determine what is worship and what is anointed and what is not, okay? So if we're going to worship the Lord, we must do it His way in the manner that He prescribed through Scripture. Following traditions and customs of man is simply not just going to cut it anymore. Okay, we can't just, you know, we're called to imitate Christ, right? But when we take the burden on of I got to imitate other people, we miss the innovation of the Holy Spirit He's given us as a kingdom of priests and as creatives. Listen, I know you heard that, but worship leaders, songwriters, whatever your expression of worship, right? Worship's more than a song. We all know that. This is love that we'd walk in His commands. We see His yes towards us in His nail-pierced hands. This is love. It's more than words. It's more than a song. It's our life laid down, and there is action involved. This is worship. And if we fall into a trap of comparison of what worship is, we put a box around worship and we lose this essence of biblical worship that has been given to us through the blood of Jesus. And if the enemy can keep you on those outer courts thinking that's not for me, you will miss a part of your eternal destiny that you are called to, right? Because you know in the New Testament when it talks about calling? I encourage you this week, let this be one of your activating assignments. Go through the New Testament and look where it says the word calling. When we hear calling, it's like, this is my calling. I'm a singer, I'm a worship leader, I'm this, that. I press on toward the call for the prize of the upward call in Christ. The call is in Jesus. The call is to Jesus. The call is to be in him, live in him, know your position because of what the blood has done. Man, this was the DTS. We went somewhere this week and I'm still wrecked. And when you understand the temple and that it was a foreshadow of Jesus and what was to come, that there's only one door that gets you in the temple, right? There's still only one door, and his name is Jesus. When you understand that when the veil was torn from top to bottom, you understand that the top was the Holy of Holies. It's not just like the veil is torn, just, you know, come on in. No, there's a way. God has ways, and he has ways which he sets things up. So I want to look tonight. Worship is not just some casual thing. We can sometimes make it out to be a casual thing because we've limited it to just be music or song. But God is redefining what worship is. And by redefining, I mean God is making us biblically literate on what worship is. And you are going to carry this wherever you go. And I believe, right, because the priest's role, number one, is to minister to God. But then what? Minister to others, to people. Okay, so let's keep going. Genuine biblical worship is all that I am responding to all that he is, as he is revealed through the Bible, through scripture, through getting to know him, through prayer. When I understand who God is, and what he has done for me, I worship him. The key is the attitude and the posture of the heart. Okay, so let's keep going here. I want to hop into Genesis 22. I want to talk about three scriptures that have changed my approach to worship. We're going to dive into these and then do an activation at the end, okay? So let's start where worship is mentioned for the first time. Someone shout it out. I've said it like 100 times. Genesis. Yes, we're going somewhere, people. Genesis 22. All right. So I want to start with the first time it's mentioned because here's a fun fact. In the Bible, this is known as the principle of first mention. All right. This principle teaches that the first mention of the word or a doctrine in the Bible determines its meaning throughout the rest of Scripture. Why does this matter? Because it matters what God likes. That's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It matters what God has put in Scripture for us to walk in and obey. So what is the worship God is looking for or desiring? What is the worship we were made for? So I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis 22. We're going to read this together and we're going to break it apart and just meet with Jesus. Sound good? All right, so Genesis 22. I'm just going to read the whole thing. Y'all ready? All right. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. I'm going to keep reading. I could already say so much about that first paragraph. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the word of the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took his hand and the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." He said, "Here I am, son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Can you imagine? You're like, I'm going with my dad. We're going over here to worship. That's what he just told everybody. And then you find out you're being offered up. Okay, let's keep reading. So Abraham said, "God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they both went together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I now know that you fear God." There is so much to unpack here where worship is introduced. There is this beautiful collision of obedience, trust in God, wholehearted faith, but also this posture of the heart, right? That's what we're talking about tonight. There's a posture that God is looking for in our hearts. So this is the first time worship is mentioned, and Abraham responded to God's command by faith. That is, his worship of the Lord was a response to the revelation of who God is. Likewise, true worship is a response to what God reveals to us about how to approach him. Listen, we see right here where the first time worship is mentioned, it's in the context of wholehearted faith, obedience, and trust in God. This is number one. A foundation for worship is faith, obedience, surrender, and wholehearted trust in God. I have two kids. I can't imagine God asking me something like that. Right? But you have this person who is convinced of who God is, who is growing. He's in the knowledge of God. He knows something to the degree that he will obey God at any cost. Okay, so something we know about Abraham is that he had developed a pattern of obedience and worship to God before this moment. And the actual word worship here, where it is introduced, means to bow down, put your head below your heart. It's an act of reverence before God. So I want to talk really quick, though, about our engaged will, because I've sat on Genesis 22 for a while, but it was yesterday I was looking at, not only did he obey God, but it was so instant. There was no hesitation. As soon as Abraham hears the command of God, there is no hesitation. He responds in faith and submits himself to the will of the Lord. Notice how Abraham's obedient faith manifested itself. I'm going to read these. He rose up early. He saddled the donkey. He took two young men with him. He took Isaac, his son, calved the wood for the burnt offering. He rose up. He went his way. Like, I mean, this is what? Worship. We are in a Romans 12 worship revival. Okay? Your life laid down, that we're a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship, holy and acceptable before God. Here we have worship introduced as someone who knows God so much to the degree that they will trust anything God says. So, Abraham's worship manifested itself in humble submission to the will of God. Surely Abraham could not understand the Lord's command. Surely his heart was heavy as he was walking in deep surrender. It's not that he was void of emotions or feeling what he felt for his only son. Surely he was confused, but still he did what the Lord told him to do. Abraham heard the word of the Lord. He submitted himself to that word. Abraham humbly obeyed God. This is the essence of worship. And I want to talk about one of the first times I remember when I got saved. I had the classic, like, I got saved like 100 times from age like 5 to 12. You know, when you're like in church and they're like, turn to Jesus, and da-da, you hear all the stuff of hell, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. That was my context for salvation. And it's a long story that I don't have time to share, but a very long story short is I ended up in Kona, Hawaii, at Youth of the Mission, doing a school called Community Transformations. And I remember sitting there going, how did I get here? what is going on? And I remember it was week one went by, then week two went by, then week three went by, and someone starts sharing about the love of God and the cross. And I remember I started feeling my heart like, what is this? What is this? And I don't know what Abraham felt in this moment, but there is a depth to which Jesus Christ reveals himself through the cross that demands wholehearted worship. When you see the cross, when you understand what was taken, the sin that was destroyed upon that cross, when you understand what you have been rescued from, what you have been saved from, it is this all-consuming, what kind of love is this that one would lay down his life for his friends? It's a love that is heavenly. It's eternal. It's not of this world. God is love. And when you meet this love, it demands worship. But it's your life. It's everything. Oh, it's everything. But you find the joy. And then scripture starts making sense. You're like, oh, the joy set before him that he would endure the cross. What? There is a joy that is upside down. It doesn't make sense. Though it's like in loss or persecution, why do I still have joy? What is going on? I remember I encountered the love of God in a way I didn't know was possible. And I went, this is the gospel. This is why people preach the gospel. This is why people, and I remember going, what? Like, why did no one tell me? I just remember thinking, no one told me the cross like this. I remember sitting there going, this changes everything. This changes. And it was I don't even know how to explain it other than a salvation encounter, right? So I remember opening up my Bible and I just was hungry, right? So I would read through the Gospels and I came across the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I'm like, wow, this is just so amazing. This is so beautiful. But I felt the Holy Spirit nudge my heart and say, no, I want you to think about, I want you to put yourself in people's shoes when you read these stories. Because how many of you, it's like, you know, you kind of read a Bible story, you disconnect yourself from it, like, oh, it's the Bible. You know, but you don't think about, like, what that was like for them to be not married, a teenager, and an angel comes and tells you, you're going to bear the Messiah. And she's like, I'm a bondservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. I'm like, what? I feel like I would have been like, you're asking me to be rejected. You're asking me to be misunderstood. You're asking me to not understand what's going on. You're asking me to even risk losing the one I'm betrothed to because this will be shameful for him and his family. Lord, what are you asking of me? Same thing with Abraham. Lord, it's my only son. You promised him. You promised this son. Lord, I know. Yeah, no, thank you for the ask, but I'm just going to stay here. Can you imagine Mary? I don't know, Lord, this is just so embarrassing. No, what is happening is there is this display of radical affection and radical devotion because they know God. They would have had the Torah memorized. They would have known scripture. They would have heard the testimonies. They would have known what God was like. Right? And so Mary says, I'm a bondservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And I remember I read this and this something in my heart said, Lindy, this is worship. And I was never the same. And I went, whoa, I had no idea. And then one thing led to another. I discovered Genesis 22 and then how that links with Romans 12. And I'm like, this is all connected. The definition of worship is right in front of us. It's right in front of us and we're all called to it. And you know what I love is you keep going and this declaration of worship to Jesus, right? I'm a bondservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word, right? It's that heart posture of faith, surrender, wholehearted obedience to Jesus. But then the story keeps going and you know, the first prophecy of Jesus that he's coming is there's one coming that will crush the head of the serpent. And I have to believe that they, when different prophets and people would arise, they'd go, is it him? Is this the one who's going to crush the head of the serpent? Ah, no. Oh, it's got to be David. It's got to be David. Look at this king. He's anointed. Okay, it's not David. Right? But then this moment happens where John the Baptist is baptizing people. And Jesus walks up and a voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Can you imagine? They're like, he's here. This is the one who's going to crush the head of the serpent. This is him. This is the object of our affection. This is Jesus. This is him, right? So then we see this life of Jesus in the Gospels. And then there's this great expression of worship. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what's coming. And he says, Father, let this cup pass from me nonetheless. Not my will, but yours be done. And I remember putting all these pieces together and go, that's it. That's the heart of worship. This is what's coming out of Genesis 22, leading throughout the Old Testament. And then we see Jesus with the same heart cry. And what I love about this is Gethsemane literally means oil press. It means oil press, where he was pressed and the oil flows. And I remember thinking, you know, Matthew 25, anyone who loves Jesus, you're like, yes, Lord, I respond to this. I want to buy oil. I want to be ready for your return. I want to propose to you that maybe buying oil looks like remembering and meditating on the cross. Looks like remembering the Savior of the world who was crushed, who was bruised, who took our sin upon the cross. He took the wrath. And he's given us access into this place of worship and devotion to him that no other God can. There is a song rising in this generation, and it's a song of simplicity, wholehearted devotion. Jesus, I just want Jesus. That's it. Okay, let's keep going. So this kind of faith is essential. It's an essential component of true biblical worship. Even the smallest act of obedience to the word of God is a form of worship. Praying, reading the Bible, witnessing, being faithful to your church community, tithing, these are all things scripture shows us. It's worship, right? It's our life laid down. A lot of you have heard this story, but I remember it was Parker's four. He's almost four, so it would have been almost 4 or 5 years ago, and I had my own crossroads with this, and I remember learning about the foster care system, and you know when your heart starts burning, and you're like, I'm totally called to this, but I am totally not willing to pay that price. I am totally, Lord, like, I've worked so hard on all my music. Please, I have to get court approval to travel. Can I support it financially? Is there something else? And then it was like I had this life moment where the very message I've given my life to study like collided on me in a moment. And I was like, what am I doing? Your voice is everything. And that was the moment I realized idols can sneak in small ways. But if you're rooted in the word of God, he is faithful to bring you to a place of wholehearted worship devotion. And that day I took down the idol of ministry in my life. And I said, I am a bondservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. It's not my will, but yours be done. Not because I have to perform for God, not because I'm trying to prove anything, but because I'm in love. Because you first loved me. Because I saw the love and encountered the love demonstrated on the cross. And this is it. This is my calling. This is my destiny. I press on. I press on. I count it all as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. If you want to go in depths of worship and surrender, you've got to know him. And our activation piece tonight is going to be, how do we know God in scripture? I want to show you one way I do this is I literally will open my Bible. I might be studying something, but tonight it's not going to be anything I premeditated because I want to show you how you can get to know God in scripture. Why is it important to know God? It's a command. And when you love him, you keep his commands. This is our eternal life, that we would know him, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. You know, I've used this analogy before, but for the sake of repetition, because it just makes sense. The more you know someone, the more you can adore them. The more you know someone, the deeper you go with them. You know, if someone walks through that door right now and I don't know them, I can only praise them on their outward appearance. Oh, I like your shirt. Cool hat. Cool. You look cool. That's pretty much all I would have, is I'd be able to judge them based upon their outward appearance. But if my husband walks through that door, I go, you're a man of integrity. You are one of the most devoted people to Jesus I've ever seen in my life. You are the father I prayed for my kids. The way you father, it's a different type of adoration when you know someone versus if you just know the surface. Why am I saying this? Tonight, I want to commission you to get to know God like you've never known God before. In this. Because it's so crazy, guys. Go with me. I remember social media really hit when I was like 22. I remember getting Instagram at 23 and being like, this is so cool, you know? I'm 33. I love my age. I'm not ashamed. It's like, I'm like the school, we laughed about it. I'm millennial, but like, I'm with you, Gen Z, all the way. Let's go. So anyways, I just got distracted. What was I saying? I was talking about, thank you, social media. I mean, guys, it was like an instant, oh, this is cool. And then instant, like, I just saw how quickly my life with God changed. You don't have the privilege of seeing that. It's all you know. You got to set your life apart. You got to do the costly time. Right? To get to know someone, it takes time. So if you think you can, sorry, I'm switching to mom mode right now because I love you so much. If you think flipping through TikTok all day or whatever it is, right? And you go, oh my gosh, but I'm surrounded by Christians. It's good. I go to worship things. And you are not personally buying oil, storing oil. You will be tossed by the winds and the waves of this world. The next cool idea that comes by, you'll be like, oh, I didn't know that about Jesus. But because you're not rooted in the word, you're just floating off. You don't have your anchor. And then you get way down there and you're like, whoa, this isn't right about Jesus. So you go back the other way and you're like, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? I'll tell you who Jesus is. He is wrapped up. This, you're like, I can't hear God's voice. I'm like, raise your hand if you feel like you can't hear God's voice. I'll throw my Bible. You can have it. Take it. It's yours. It's yours. You can just totally have it. I'll buy a new one because his voice is wrapped up in this book with songs singing over you, things he's saying over you. Your identity is wrapped up in here. Who Jesus is wrapped up in here. You want to know him, open the book. Get to know him. I will never forget. I'm kind of going off here, but it was, I started doing the Mike Bickle Song of Solomon study. And this is from the view of Jesus is the bridegroom and us is the bride. And I get to the part where it's like, you know, the bride is beaten and bruised. And so she's looking for her beloved. And I'm kind of like, wow, what is going on here? Like, she was with Jesus. She was experiencing Jesus. Now she's experiencing, like, where is his presence? She's rising up to find him. Okay, so I'm listening to Mike Bickle's study, and then he says this line, and I just remember I just fell, and I was like, this is it. This is what I'll give my life to. She says, I'm looking for him, and it says the daughters of Jerusalem say, who is your beloved more than another beloved that you'd be looking for him like this? Translation, girl, you look crazy. You are beaten and bruised, running around looking for someone who clearly is not revealing himself. What are you doing? And then she says, oh, no, my beloved, he's radiant and ruddy, distinguished among 10,000. His head is the finest of wool. This is my beloved. This is my friend. And then what do they say? They didn't say, that's cool. They say, well, where is he? We're going with you. And I was like, knowing Jesus is everything. Because knowing Jesus is the foundation of your life being given over in radical worship to him. Okay, so, Ian, I lost it. I'm so technically challenged. And I was like, as long as my screen doesn't close, I'll be fine. Oh, got it. Okay, here we go. Praise the Lord. Woo! Okay. Everyone doing good? All right, this is our last thing. Worship involves precious time and costly sacrifice. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I've told you. Worship is not about getting, it's about giving. It's not about the entertainment of our pleasures, but about realignment of our priorities to his purposes. It involves listening, doing, and offering up sacrifices. One thing that's in common from Abraham to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to Jesus himself is the engaged will. Not my will, but yours be done. This is the love song of worship that is rising in your generation. So real worship is always costly. David knew this, for he said, but I will buy it for you from a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord that cost me nothing. Mary of Bethany knew this. She didn't have to pour that out. She could have said, it's enough just to be in the room with you. I can't believe I get to be in a room with you. She's overcome. We could do a whole Monday night just on Mary of Bethany. And the symbolism and what it means and what she's getting Jesus ready for and how she knows Jesus and what she's giving. And here's this oil being poured out. It's costly. And when you're operating in real worship, it will offend the religious spirit. Because they say what right there? What is she doing? What is she doing? We could have fed the poor. And Jesus says, no, this will be told everywhere the gospel is preached. It's right there. It says, this will be told everywhere the gospel is preached. What does that mean? Where the gospel is preached goes the message of worship. Where the gospel is preached, when someone encounters and knows Jesus, they step into their eternal destiny and calling as a worshiper. Okay. Oh, wow. Real worship is always costly. We're at Mary of Bethany. I'm just going to stop there. I will go off on Mary Bethany for the rest of the night. The ultimate price paid for us to enter into worship is the sacrifice of Jesus. The very foundations of worship laid in Genesis 22 is displayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we talked about what that means, the oil being pressed, right? Go buy oil, get to know Jesus. So we know that worship is a sacrifice. It always costs something. It costs time. It costs time in the Bible. It costs time getting to know him. Center yourself and your life and your time around getting to know him, because this is one expression of our worship to him, okay? So you have to know someone to praise them deeply. That's what we just talked about. This whole thing of, we see these expressions all throughout scripture, right? Paul says, I count it all as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So I just want to do something. If Isaac can come up, wherever he is, I'm going to open my Bible and I just want to give you one activation piece tonight. Is that okay? Because I know you know this, but just again, for the sake of repetition, what is the worship God is looking for? He's looking. He's prepared us. He's making us ready for his second return. We are the generation. Okay. We're living in between the first and second coming of Jesus. Not everyone's going to get to say that in heaven. We're a part of the generations filled with the Holy Spirit, living in the new covenant, awaiting his return. That is amazing. That is amazing. And we're positioned now in this life to worship Jesus, to know him. And so I lost my train of thought, because anytime I start talking about the cross, I get so excited. But I want to invite you into the simplicity of John 4. What is the worship Jesus is looking for? Right? Because you know the story. Jesus is going from town to town. He stops in Samaria and the Samaritans, right? They were outcast because it was from, the fall of Assyria. People intermarried. Then you have the Samaritans, right? So they're like, they didn't belong with the Jews. They didn't belong with the Gentiles, right? So they worshiped on the mountain. Jesus sits with this woman who pretty much only knows rejection and shame. Reveals that he's the Messiah, and then says, hey, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship, but God is raising up worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. He's prophesying of the temple that we are now because of the blood of Jesus. He's saying, listen, you're used to these places of worship. You're about to be my place of worship. You're about to be the place that I will inhabit. You are the praise that I will inhabit. And she's sitting there, and we all know the end of the story, right? She goes and she tells her town about Jesus. This is the worship that Jesus is desiring. It's simple. Don't overcomplicate the simplicity of worship, the simplicity of your yes. And I want to encourage you, if tonight you're going, I don't know, I don't feel that fire. I don't feel, where is that? You know, I'm just going to be so vulnerable. It was about 3 weeks ago, and I'm just going to get really vulnerable. Knowing Jesus is everything, because I remember singing the song, Jesus the Healer. We wrote it when COVID started. And, you know, when we lost Brian, we were singing that song every greenhouse set, every single greenhouse set. And I remember, I was like, I can't put this on the album. I believe you're a healer, Jesus, but I'm still working through it, you know? And something rose up in me, and I was like, you're the healer. I know you. I know you. And we begin to shout this, you are Jesus the healer. You're Jesus the healer. You're Jesus the healer. You're Jesus. And I remember something switched to me and I went, you're the healer. And I met the healer. Now, sometimes you have to ask the Holy Spirit, help my heart see you. And guess what? He will. He will. So now fast forward, I didn't realize, you know, this year, I love all of our worship leaders and musicians so much. They know that. Like, anytime there's a video posted of them, I'm like sharing it, like, ah! Like, they're my favorite. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I am so proud of our worship leaders and our musicians and how they're stewarding the presence. And this type of worship is one expression of our worship. But I just want to be honest with you. It was about 2 weeks ago, I had this moment where I just didn't realize how much pressure I had put on myself. How much pressure I had put on myself of, oh, I got to lead well. I got to do this well. I don't want to mess up, God. And I remember I'm in this space of worship, and all I said was, Holy Spirit, would you touch my heart? Wow. And he came so strong. I didn't have words. And I went, this is the access you've given us. But I had to recognize where my heart was and engage my will. When we think we don't have to engage our will in a relationship with God, we form entitlements towards God, and then we wonder why God's not meeting us. Tonight, God wants to dismantle entitlements in our mind that says, God hasn't wanted, he doesn't love me, he doesn't want me. The Lord's like, I died for you. I gave everything for you. Come to me. Come to me. And I just remember standing there and I said, Holy Spirit, would you touch my heart? And he began to touch my heart, and I couldn't believe the overwhelming sense of love and acceptance that it doesn't, even if I mess up, I'm still loved and accepted by the Father. If you want to live a life of radical worship, know you are loved and accepted in the presence of a holy God who made a way for you, who now calls you his temple. A holy God calls us his place of dwelling, his temple. I couldn't believe it. And then fast forward, we're in worship week for DTS, and Matt Redman, just honor Matt Redman, the Redman family. I think their kids are here tonight. Just honor your family and all your yeses to lead a generation in worship. And it happened again while he was leading. I felt the nudge again and say, Holy Spirit, touch my heart. And I'm standing there. I said, Holy Spirit, touch my heart. And I just fell down and I started weeping. And I went, oh my goodness, you're teaching me how many opportunities where I actually turn offended at God because I'm wondering why you're not meeting me, but all you're asking me is to spill my heart before you and say, Holy Spirit, would you touch my heart? Isaac, you can start playing. I just want to invite you into the simplicity tonight. Jesus never says it's going to be easy, but he promises he will be with us. This is the essence of worship. I and you, you and me, that we would be made one. This is what the blood has done. So your activation tonight is I want to show you how simple it is to get to know God through scripture. I am going to turn to a random psalm just to make this very real. And I'll sit down at my piano, God bless my housemates who are like, what is she doing in there? That one's a little long. Okay, let's find a shorter one or we'll be here till 10 p.m. We're in Proverbs now. Let's do Psalm 119. Just kidding. That's like so many chapters. Okay. All right. I'm just going to pick this Psalm 123. I don't think I've ever, I'm sure I've done this at some point in my life, but I don't know what it says right now until I read this. So this is what I do. I sing it. If you can't sing, God's not looking for a perfect voice. He's just looking for people who are hungry to get to know him. And so tonight, I want this simple activation to activate your heart. Okay? So there's a slide we have of sing it, say it, pray it, write it. I'm saying it out of order. But Danny made it look much cooler. Yeah, read it, write it, sing it, say it, pray it. So if you can write that down, this is a key to get to know God in scripture. Like in this is so simple, right? But I just one day like, I was just doing this and I pulled out my TikTok and I was like, read it, write it, sing it, say it, pray it. And I was like, that's actually what I do. I'm letting you into the secret of my secret place with God. Okay, so Psalm 123. I'm going to sing it for you, and then I'm going to show you, then I start singing around it. So I'm nervous for some reason, but it's fine. You know, I'm kind of like, oh, I hope it doesn't talk about killing people, but we'll find out soon. Okay. To you I lift my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, and as the eyes of maidservants to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. For we have had more than enough of contempt. That's good. I mean, we should write a song around that. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Okay, so that's the whole psalm. I sing it word for word. Then I'll go back. To you I lift my eyes, I set my gaze on you, Jesus. Oh, the eyes of my heart are on you. Oh, you who are enthroned in the heavens, the place where your glory dwells, I set my eyes on the King. I set my eyes on the King who sits enthroned in all eternity. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look to their master, my eyes will look to the Lord. For you are my master, Jesus. So I love your lordship. I love your leadership, Jesus. My eyes are on the one who sits enthroned. As a servant looks to the master, my heart will be set on you, Jesus. I throw away all the lies of your lordship not being beautiful, Jesus. I don't care what the world says. I don't care about my reputation. I just care about my reputation in the throne of heaven. Jesus, have mercy on me, Jesus. For we've had more than enough of contempt, Jesus. I won't settle for anything less. I won't settle for anything less than the one who's enthroning the heavens. I won't settle for anything less than the one who's enthroning the heavens. My life is yours. I love your lordship. I love your leadership. My soul has had more than enough. I can't give in to the ways of the world. I won't look to the left or the right. I will set my eyes on you. and then I'll let my heart just get caught up in worship. I set my eyes on you, Jesus. So give me dove's eyes. Give me undistracted devotion to only you. And give me dove's eyes, Jesus. And give me undistracted devotion to only you. And then I'll pray it. Jesus, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, oh, so our eyes look upon you, Lord. Jesus, my eyes look upon you. I love that you're master. I love that you're father. I love your lordship. I love your leadership. Would you show me mercy? Would you have mercy upon me to keep me in your ways? Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me to keep me locked into your will. Have mercy on me that my heart would stay steady. Have mercy on me that my heart would be drenched in the presence of God. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Oh, and then I'll pull from other scriptures, Son of David, don't pass me by. Have mercy. I'm hungry for you, Jesus. I'm hungry for you, Jesus. Give me a heart of worship, Jesus. Oh, let it go so far beyond what I think I can know, but write it on my heart, Jesus, that we are a kingdom of priests before our God, a holy nation. Thank you for what the blood of Jesus has done. The worship team can come up. We're going to do Look to the Lamb, so you can be in the key of C, but was this helpful? It's so simple. Don't let the distraction make you feel like, oh man, I don't know how to do that. I don't know. Anyone can open up the scripture and read it, write it, sing it, say it, pray it. What I just demonstrated here was I sing it word for word, and then I let the revelation, I ask the Holy Spirit, give me revelation. Give me revelation. And then even right now, I feel like I want to go home and just sing around his lordship and his leadership. Oh, have mercy on me to keep me in the light of your eyes. So we're going to respond in worship. So everyone, you can stand up. Jesus. Just do this for me. If tonight you're going, wow, worship means something different to me, and I want to walk in this in a greater way. Can you just raise your hand? Come on. Jesus, I thank you that we are in a Romans 12 revival, that we are living sacrifices, that this is our worship, holy and acceptable to Jesus. Lord, we respond to you tonight, and we just say we love you, Jesus. We say yes to a heart of worship. We say yes, Jesus, to a life that's laid down, a life that is surrendered, and a life that is given over to Jesus. A life that knows nothing, right? Paul says, I've decided to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. Jesus, we say yes to you tonight. Just tell him, say, I say yes, Jesus. We say yes to faith, trust, surrender, and wholehearted obedience to Jesus. We say yes to the engaged will, and we say yes to costly intimacy with Jesus. We say yes to giving you our time. We say yes to giving you our lives, to giving you our yes in Jesus' name. Oh God, catch us up in worship, that we would be a people of worship, that when we come and sing songs, it's just a reflection of what God's doing in the depth of our hearts. Jesus, we say, here we are. Here we are, God. We love you. We look to you, Jesus. We say, there's nobody like you, Jesus. Again, tonight, Jesus, we're saying, we say yes. We say yes, Jesus. To wholehearted faith, trust, obedience, surrender to God. We say yes to being undone.
We say yes to lingering in your presence. We say yes to taking the time. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.